good morning, and welcome to the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peek. Hope everybody's doing well. It's been an interesting week this week. My wife had to work out of town in Cincinnati, and we are not from Cincinnati. We are from South Carolina area. So let's just say that it's a lot colder there, a lot more challenges for her. Part of that is not being able to drive in that sort of environment, not being used to the snow and ice on the ground, and weirdly realizing that the place she had to go to was walking distance. But again, you have to walk in the snow and ice versus driving. So that was an interesting challenge for her. For me personally, that allowed me some extra time to watch stuff on TV, because I'm always talking about stuff I heard, things that might interest you, that might get you to where you're like, oh, well, I got cabin fever. I'm stuck inside. What can I watch? You know, give me something to kind of wet my whistle. So let me talk about a few things. First of all, some sad news. My sister's fella, Mark, passed away. He had a bad multiple organ failure thing happen and passed away. And I was able to go over and spend some time with her Friday after work. She is going through a lot right now. So I'm asking for thoughts and prayers for her and her kids and her family and his family. And if you can just say a quick little word for Mark and Brandy, and hope that Gabe and Luke and the whole family is going to be okay through this. But before all that happened, wife went out of town. Like I said, I looked on the internet and said, what could I watch that I've just been putting off? Because, you know, with her not there, I'm not concerned about her going, what are you watching? So I just figured, whatever, I'll just watch whatever. Now, first off, before she left, we watched the finale of The Crown. For those of you who don't know, The Crown is basically about Queen Elizabeth II, or the first, or whatever it is, Queen Elizabeth. Queen Elizabeth, the show was really great. I love the first season. I love her taking power. I love the story of behind the scenes. There's a lot of the story where my wife and I both said out loud, how do they know that? There's no inside information on this. They don't know that this conversation happened. Or if they did, are they speculating? Or are they just trying to make a movie out of something and they're adding their own dialogue? You know, The Crown has come public and said that they do not sign off on the show, that this is just a show. And Netflix has pretty much said the same thing. Although I can imagine that a lot of the stuff that they're getting comes from people's diaries and from interviews and from staff that have, you know, worked there and people that they know, that the conversations they've had. And I wouldn't imagine they would make this show without any homework. To me, they did a really good job of portraying what a daunting task it is to be a royal, what it means, what the responsibilities are, and sometimes what the wastefulness is. But how the country moves forward, and sometimes the job of the crown is to be the consistent thing that represents hope and something grander than their normal life, because it was and sort of is. It is weird that in 2024 we have a monarchy in power of a country that also has a normal democracy with it. So the taxes they pay are for both, which is kind of crazy. Man, people love taxes, don't they? These countries love to tax people to death. For those of you who don't know right now, you can go on Twitter and look up the revolution that's happening overseas in France and Germany and Poland, where the global community has decided to tax farmers out of their farms, and the farmers are fighting back. Basically, the farmers are coming out and blocking roadways with thousands and thousands and thousands of farm equipment, and they're going to the lawmakers' houses and dumping manure on their front porch by the dump truck loads. And they're basically protesting the fact that the government doesn't want them to make food. Now, there's this weird push about zero carbon emissions, blah, 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 blah. Well, carbon is also carbon dioxide, which is what we need for plants to breathe so that we can breathe, because plants consume carbon dioxide. They turn it into oxygen and then allow us to breathe the oxygen. So, I don't know. I'm kind of the belief that non-scientists are trying to make decisions about the world, and they're getting half-truths from people that they want to give them the answer they're looking for instead of listening to civil debate. You know, it's one of those things where the more I learn, the less I want to know. And weirdly, the more that I wish I knew, I'm kind of glad I don't. Does that make any sense? There is a joy in being just dumb. Okay. Because the more you learn, the more you're like, why is all this happening? And you can see that in this show, The Crown. The more they learn about what things mean and what it actually is happening is sometimes two different things. But yeah, so that was interesting. There's been a series on Amazon that's been going for a while with new episodes. They do it where it's just once a week. It's called Reacher. And Reacher is based on a series of books where the main character is this giant human ex-military. And there was a movie made with it with Tom Cruise where a lot of people criticized the fact that Tom Cruise is only like 5'6", 5'7". And here he is playing this guy who's supposed to be like 6'5", big, giant, dangerous guy. Even though I liked the movie, I thought Tom Cruise did a good job. I didn't know anything about the books. I didn't know anything about the character. Still enjoy the movie. But this guy is playing Reacher, and he is a tremendously large human. if you were to see him, you'd go, "Oh, he's an action star. Look at him." Now, watching Reacher last year, the fellow playing him is Alan Rickson. Rickson. R-I-T-C-H-S-O-N. Rickson? Anyway, whatever. He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the first Terminator movie. He's big and jacked and kind of robotic in his movements in this season 2. Season 1, he acted well. It was a good story. It was an introduction. This one, he's more doing the one-liners and just walking very robotically. I still like the story. I thought it was good. Yeah. I like the story, you know, whatever. You don't need the story for the show because it's just what you expect it's going to be. This big guy, he's going and helping the little guy, and once in a while somebody lashes back and he takes him out because he's that guy. And he's really smart. Even though he looks like a big giant lug, he's really smart. So, anywho, if you're looking for something to take your mind off of The Crown and everything else, go check out Reacher. Season 1 and 2 are out now. And then, of course, my wife was gone, and I said, "Hey, let me watch something out of the ordinary, something that I've been waiting to watch to just, I don't know, sort of appease my curiosity." This movie was advertised on Netflix. It's called Reptile. Benicio del Toro plays the main character. Justin Timberlake is supposed to be in it because you see him in the preview. Alicia Silverstone is in it. I gotta say, Alicia Silverstone is still something else. Quite the actress. Yeah. So here's the rundown of the movie, The Reptile, or the show. Is it a show or a movie? It's a movie. Okay. 2 hours and whatever minutes long. here's the rundown. Following the brutal murder of a young real estate agent, a hardened detective attempts to uncover the truth in a case where nothing is as it seems, and by doing so, dismantles the illusion in his own life. Okay. Now, take that idea and just forget about all of it because none of it matters. The movie, was terrible. I got to be honest. I thought that this was some of Benicio del Toro's and Alicia Silverstone's and Justin Timberlake's probably best acting. But the movie just fails because the director, Grant Singer, decided to wrap up the end and not really tell you what happened. It just sort of shows you images. And you're like, wait, what? So what just happened? Like, this guy killed that guy, but then why is, what's the deal with the paraffin wax on a hand? And where, who turned who in? Does this person know that? There's a lot of questions at the end. I kind of feel bad that I can't get those 2 hours and 15 minutes back because didn't like the movie. Again, really good acting. There's a few characters in it that are really stepping up their game to try to bring it all on the screen. But to me, the director left the story on the edit floor. So you can skip the reptile movie. Just bummer, in my opinion. So then I said, well, I need a palate cleanser. I need something that I'm going to enjoy because this, I didn't enjoy that at all. And I happened upon this animated series that pops up on my Netflix anytime I open it and it says, you would love this. This is your recommended stuff. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Animated series. It's called Blue-Eyed Samurai. Blue-Eyed Samurai. I've been saying it wrong. I've been pronouncing it past tense. With like blue-eyed. It's Blue-Eyed Samurai. So Blue-Eyed Samurai, here's the rundown. It's a really short blurb. It says, a master of the sword lives in disguise while seeking revenge in Edo period Japan. Now, this is Shogun time. This is right before the time or right during the time where the English were bringing guns to Japan and sort of inspiring a revolution where for years they had been under certain emperor's rule and shogun rule, and with the people having firearms within their possession, they were able to uprise against their leaders and overthrow the government. It was a big civil war thing that happened. But in the middle of all that, this is the revenge story here of this main character, Mizu. I liked this a lot. Listen, sometimes Netflix gets it right and they're like, I think you'd like this. Yes, you were absolutely correct. I love this. This is a story of revenge of a, what they call half breed. This person was persecuted when they were little. Mizu, was always chased and hit with stones and people wanted to kill her, him, her. I just gave it away. Dang. So it turns out that the main character is a woman the whole time. You think it's a little boy, but it turns out to be a little girl that grows up to be a woman. But she hides her identity from everybody because it's safer, because they were out to kill a girl with blue eyes. But this, they do such a great job of developing this character before you, even though it's animated. They do a really fantastic job of developing this character along the way. Now, I will say, even though it's animated, it is not for children, okay? Do not watch this with your little kids going, oh, look, it's a cartoon. Let's watch the cartoon. There is sex, a lot of sex. There is heroin because it's Japan during this time of the year, this time of history. There is a lot of brutal, brutal murder. Just imagine everything that you could do to the human body to kill it. They do it in this. Now, if you are an adult like me and you like watching the John Wick movies because of the level of revenge that John was willing to take, you're going to really enjoy this. If you like Star Wars was based, George Lucas says, on a Kurosawa Japanese shogun film. He watched it and he was like, what if we had space samurai? Okay. Well, this is the samurai. And this story is amazing. There's a code of conduct, a punk samurai of things they're supposed to do, things they're not supposed to do. There's heroes you wouldn't expect, sometimes without hands. There is a crazy level of bad guys that they have to face along the way, challenges along the way. But also, like, with all of the kung fu stuff that I watched as a kid, because when I was a kid, like, for some reason, we could pick up WGN out of Chicago when we were living in the Atlanta area. And if I turned my little UHF channel to a certain channel at like 10 o'clock at night, I got these cool kung fu films. And it was awesome. But then there's an episode in this show, Blue Eye Samurai, where she has to go into a shogun castle where the bad guy is supposed to be on the 9th level, which means that there's no front door, but you have to figure out how to get in and then fight your way up 9 levels, kind of like a video game. And each level has its own challenges and its own dangers and its own craziness that is just amazing. I mean, holy cow. And it tells the story of not only this character, but all of the background characters that come together to culminate the story, including one princess who just wants to marry a guy. She just likes this one guy, and her father wants to marry her off for political reasons, and she's not looking forward to the fact that she's a woman in Japan, and because she's a princess and her father is the shogun of the area, that she has to do this for political reasons, and she's kind of looking for answers that aren't that. And you have a young warrior guy who basically is set out on his own revenge, and then ends up, I got all involved and excited about this and I got choked up. But this shogun, you know, warrior samurai guy, you know, ends up being part of the team and in an unexpected way. And it is really, really good. So probably one of the best shows I've seen this year, and that's saying something. So anyway, if you're interested in samurai and shoguns and you're not thwarted by seeing animated people having sex once in a while, which, I mean, let's face it, we all have sex. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here, correct? But there is some heroin use, but it's because of side character is not the main character. Anyway, whatever. It was the time, okay? It's not a lot. It's just the girl's mother. Anyway, whatever. Okay. Watched all that. It's like, cool. It's getting towards the end of the week. I watched a couple of comedy specials. I saw Pete Davidson's comedy special, because everybody's like, oh, Pete, you're from Saturday Night Live. You must be funny. And I think he thinks he's funny. He's probably funny with his friends. I watched the special. There's about 3 jokes in it that are really good. And the rest is just him talking. But there's a lot of people laughing. So I don't know. Maybe I'm too old to find the humor in Pete Davidson. He kind of craps on Matt Rife a little bit, which I haven't seen a lot of Matt Rife's comedy. Only what's on TikTok, where some lady's talking to him from the audience and he's doing some crowd work or whatever. And I'm like, who's this kid? I mean, other than the fact that he's a good looking, muscular young guy and supposedly friends with Ashton Kutcher, I didn't know anything about him. So I was like, okay, whatever. I think he's got a special on Netflix too. Maybe I'll watch it. So I watched Pete's and I was like, yeah, okay, cool, I guess. Flipped it over to watch Matt Rife's. His was actually a little bit funnier. A lot of masturbation jokes. A lot of masturbation jokes. But, I mean, if you're in your early 20s, what else are you going to talk about? But still, funnier than Pete's show. Okay? And then I watched Ralph Barbosa. I'd never seen or heard of Ralph Barbosa. To me, funnier than the other two combined. I was like, whoa, that came out of nowhere. He's from Texas, family's from Mexico, and he's doing this special in a small club again on Netflix. Really funny comedy show. I was not expecting some of the jokes that came out of him. Very dry, slow delivery, but funny, real funny. And then I watched Dusty Slay has a special on Netflix. And I'd seen Dusty Slay as one of these, you know, comedians that popped up on the little showcase things that Netflix had done where everybody got like 15 minutes or so. And he did an hour, and I got to tell you, it was a good 45 minutes of me laughing. So, you know, to me, Dusty Slay was probably the best comedy special I've seen out of those four. So anyway, take that for what it is. Listen, everybody's sense of humor is different, but yeah, I don't know. The fact that Matt Rife was playing in a stadium and Pete Davidson was playing in a theater, Ralph Barbosa was playing in front of maybe 200 people, and Dusty Slay had about 1,000 or so in his theater. The size of the crowd does not mean that the person's funny or not. So, anyway, it was a nice, pleasant surprise. I was also able to catch last night before the plane, well, Friday after work, before my wife's plane arrived, I watched The Equalizer 3 on Netflix. Now, I had watched The Equalizer with Denzel Washington years ago. Like, he was working at like Home Depot, and some bad guys come in to give somebody a hard time. And he ends up, you know, being this ghost military guy that worked outside of the CIA and the FBI and all of that stuff, and basically just didn't exist, but sort of, you know, just did things that the government needed done. And he exacts revenge on these people and follows through with all of it. And I really like The Equalizer. Now, I saw Equalizer 3 listed on Netflix, and my first thought was, wait, there was a 2? Did I miss the 2? When did that happen? So, yeah, apparently there's an Equalizer 2 out there somewhere. It's not on Netflix. I couldn't find it. I was like, oh, yeah, watch it. Couldn't find it. The Equalizer 2 is, or The Equalizer 3 is on Netflix right now. Stars not only Denzel Washington, but a grown-up Dakota Fanning. I did not know that she was a grown-up now. I mean, I guess I watched her as a kid in movies and stuff, and I knew that time had passed, but I hadn't realized that she's a grown-up now. But yeah, Equalizer 3. This main character starts off with him in somewhere in Sicily, and he gets shot, and he gets taken in by a small village, and they nurse him back to health, and he likes staying there, and he likes the people, and before long he realizes that there's something corrupt going on. And, you know, Dakota Fanning I don't know if she's supposed to be Interpol or CIA or whatever, but he calls her and he gives her a tip and leads her on a path to help uncover a thing. It's predictable. It is what it's supposed to be. He's the guy that can't take it anymore and has to do something. It's also done where he, as a ghost sort of assassin, takes out the bad guys where you can't really see him do a lot. And, you know, on a filmmaker standpoint, this is cool because then you can just have stunt doubles do the thing, and you hear a lot of, you know, people suddenly die and he's in the shadows walking around, and it's clever filmmaking. Still doesn't take it away from the fact that Denzel Washington is a great actor, and this is a great movie. It's fine. Listen, Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 76%. The Metacritic gave it 58%. IMDb gave it a 6.9 out of 10. I give it a 6 out of 10. Yeah, I give it a 6. I wouldn't pay money to go see it, but I was glad to watch it on Netflix. Does that make any sense? Now, if I'd have seen The Blue-Eyed Samurai in the theater, I'd have been like, worth every penny. Now, but it's a series. You can't really watch a series in the theater. But yeah, my win for the week is Blue-Eyed Samurai. So take that for what it's worth. And Dusty Slay. So All right, that's it. I'm going to wrap this up. I've talked for long enough. I feel like I'm just kind of recapping my week with you guys to give you some ideas of things to entertain you, take your mind off of things. You know, life's hard out there. People are going through a lot. Sometimes you just need proper mental health. Sometimes you need to talk to somebody. Sometimes you need to drink more water, go for a walk. A little bit of diet and exercise helps. Sometimes you just need to sit on the couch and make yourself not do anything. And that was kind of my week this week. I made myself sit on the couch and not do anything. Even though I know I could be outside building tables, or I could be doing a bunch of other things that probably need to be done. I use this week to kind of just reset my body and my brain and just kind of slow down. Even though I consumed a lot of things watching it and being entertained, I tried really hard this week to just sit still. And I know that sounds weird because I talk all the time about being on the go and doing a lot of things. But sometimes it's important to just sit still. So, again, thoughts and prayers out for Mark and Brandy and the families. Special thank you to Cheryl for the homemade lasagna last night. That was really special. but yeah, I'm glad my wife's home. I'm glad she's safe. And we kick off the week doing the thing. So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you can, please give us a rating. Share this with your friends. And as always, cue the cow.
Cue the cow. Move, baby.